to the
this is why we need some money. I need to get my credit repaired. Okay, I need a mic stand. How about that? Is that better? Hello? Sean?
And we still have
to Hold on. Back up. Something went really wrong with Skype. Okay, start it again.
Episode 26, Wilhelm Scream. Hello and welcome to episode 26 of Jay Won't Darts podcast, where I use sound clips in every episode, sometimes dedicating whole episodes to particular effects. This episode, The Wilhelm Scream, probably one of the most famous sound clips about. My intro was from No Agenda 103, some weird connection problem for John and Adam. Just to jog your memory, this is The Wilhelm Scream. Sound familiar? Here's the first use of the sound effect. The movie Distant Drums, back in 1951. As the people cross a river, one of them is dragged underneath by an alligator. Here's what Wikipedia has to say about the famous scream.
Wilhelm Scream from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. The sound effect originates from a series of sound effects recorded for the 1951 film Distant Drums. In a scene from the film, soldiers are wading through a swamp in the Everglades, and one of them is bitten and dragged underwater by an alligator. The scream for that scene was recorded later in a single take along with five other short pain screams, which were slated as, man getting bit by an alligator, and he screams. The fifth scream was used for the soldier in the alligator scene, but the fourth, fifth, and sixth screams recorded in the session were also used earlier in the film, when three Indians are shot during a raid on a fort. Although takes 4 through 6 are the most recognizable, all of the screams are referred to as Wilhelm by those in the sound community. The Wilhelm Scream's revival came from motion picture sound designer Ben Burtt, who rediscovered the original recording, which he found as a studio reel labeled, Man Being Eaten by Alligator, and incorporated it into a scene in Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, when Luke Skywalker shoots a stormtrooper who screams as he falls. Burtt named the scream after Private Wilhelm, a minor character who emitted the same scream in the 1953 film The Charge at Feather River. Burtt began incorporating the effect in other films he worked on, including most projects involving George Lucas and or Steven Spielberg. Other sound designers picked up on the effect, and inclusion of the sound in films became a tradition among the community of sound designers. Although the identity of the individual who recorded the scream, or more correctly, the entire series of screams is unknown, Burtt uncovered documentation suggesting the scream might have been recorded by singer-actor Shed Woolley. Burtt discovered a file at Warner Brothers, which contained paperwork from the editor of Distant Drums. Amongst the paperwork was a short list of names of actors who were scheduled to come in to perform various lines of dialogue for miscellaneous roles in the movie. After reviewing the names and even listening to their voices, Burtt determined that Shed Woolley seemed to be the most likely suspect. Woolley played the uncredited role of Private Jessup in Distant Drums, and was one of the few actors assembled for the recording of additional vocal elements for the film. It is conceivable that he was asked to perform additional vocal elements, including the screams for a man being bitten by an alligator.
I noticed lots of movies that have the Wilhelm scream. A lot of famous movies feature it. Spider-Man, The Fifth Element. I think all of the Star Wars movies, not sure. Die Hard with a Vengeance, Toy Story, Lord of the Rings 2 and 3, Reservoir Dogs, Gremlins 2. Basically all kinds of famous movies, all with the same little scream effect. It's often used when someone is stabbed or falls to their death. Something when someone gets taken care of quickly. I found this program about the history of the Wilhelm scream.
What makes a great movie scream? Well, it's got to be big. It's got to be loud. It's got to be dramatic. And it's got to fit the visuals. My name's Steve Lee. I'm a sound effects wrangler and film historian. I run the website HollywoodLostAndFound.net. It's a collection of stories and bits of history about movie props, sound effects, and other film trivia. One of the most popular stories recently has been about a sound effect called the Wilhelm Scream.
Oh, the Wilhelm Scream.
Jesus Christ, the Wilhelm Scream.
Which was recorded for a movie in 1951 called Distant Drums with Gary Cooper. And they needed the sound of a man getting bitten by an alligator.
It's a sound editor joke. In 1953, a movie called The Charge at Feather River, a Warner Brothers Western, used this scream.
There's a character named Wilhelm who gets an arrow in his leg.
And there's this particular signature scream that he did when he fell. And Warner Brothers liked it enough to start sort of using it in other places.
Sound effects designer Ben Burtt, who did all the Star Wars films and Indiana Jones films, sort of adopted it as his personal sound signature, and consequently he has used it in all the Star Wars films, all the Indiana Jones films.
The sound editors, Richard Anderson being one, and Mark Mangini is another, I was working with those guys at that time, and I remembered the scream. And so I stuck it in a bunch of pictures of mine, and I would say probably most of the movies that I've done have got this scream in there somewhere.
Since then, it has sort of been passed along the sound effects grapevine to different editors who care and appreciate its history. And I put the story on my website, and Ben has accused me of starting a cult of sorts, because lots of film fans all over the world have heard this scream, and so far we have over 130 titles on the list of films that have used the Wilhelm scream. Well, first of all, you can hear somebody slating the recording.
A man getting bit by an alligator and he screams.
And then he does three screams, these short, pained screams. And they're pretty good. These have been used quite a bit, too. The first one you did up here was much better. He says.
Not an owl. A real scream.
Wants a real scream of pain. And there's the famous one. And that's it. And here's what it sounds like backwards. The sound editors who use the Wilhelm scream are sort of putting it in as a tribute to sort of the sound effects lore that has come before. Yeah, it's sort of become sort of a competition, or maybe even sort of a way of communicating between ourselves and saying hello to each other. You hear a Wilhelm scream in the movie, and you're suddenly trying to figure out who supervised the sound in that film. Is that somebody I know? Who did that? Joe Dante even worked it into an episode of Masters of Horror, the episode called Homecoming.
And we are definitely not giving up to a bunch of crippled, stinking, maggot-infested, brain-dead, zombie dissidents! Come and get it!
I stuck it in. It's a zombie scream now. It's when some zombies get shot, they make the Wilhelm scream.
Maggot-infested!
This was always something that was so below the radar that no one ever noticed other than the people who already knew.
And another one of the Masters of Horror directors, Toby Hooper, had it in his film Poltergeist. There's a war movie on a TV in the kitchen and the little girl's watching it.
Sometimes this scream is mixed in subliminally because you can sense it and feel it even if you can't hear it.
We're not absolutely 100% certain who screamed the Wilhelm scream, but some paperwork on the film Distant Drums suggested that several people were called in to do post-production sound bits. One of the people on the list was Sheb Woolley, who was most famous for the song Purple People Eater. We think that he's the most likely candidate, and after talking to his widow, he apparently was quite proud of the fact that he did screams and anguished cries for movies periodically. But they didn't know that it had become this huge thing. So I think he would have been happy. There's even a punk rock band out there called A Wilhelm Scream that I guess they're fans of the Scream too. One of the films I worked on, Over the Hedge, I had a little dragonfly that flies into a bug zapper and gets killed. And I pitched up a Wilhelm really, really high for the little bug voice. So I killed the dragonfly. If it's on my list, I try to be damn sure that it is indeed A. Wilhelm, that it's the old 1951 recording and not some imitation or a variation that was manipulated too much.
Now that it's above ground and now people are finding out about it, it isn't nearly as much fun to use anymore. And in fact, I'm proud to say that it's not in my current episode.
Ben Burtt has said he's going to stop using it, so that's certainly an end of an era for Wilhelm. But I think that it's out there. I think it'll keep getting used. I'm still using it.
Can you imitate the Wilhelm?
I don't know. Ah! No, I can't.
An all-new season of Masters of Horror, only on Showtime or anytime on Showtime On Demand.
Thank you for listening to the short episode. My long outro, for padding, is from No Agenda 103, talking about Taylor Swift. If you want to contact me, even just to say you listened, send an email to jwontdart@gmail.com, jwontdart@gmail.com. I'd appreciate it. Have a super happy day. Bye.
So I'm watching Jim flipping around looking for something reasonable to watch because, you know, I missed the basketball game. And there, Dateline NBC, an entire hour, which could have just as easily been an infomercial, an entire hour dedicated to this new talent, Taylor Swift.
Who's that?
Yeah. Perfect.
I asked the question. Taylor Swift. Who is Taylor Swift?
Who the heck is Taylor Swift? Taylor Swift is a blonde singer that, and by the way, our one listener at Mevio, Andrew Grummet.
Hey, Andrew. Mention. Hey, buddy. We'll see you at the office tomorrow.
Our one listener at Mevio's comes up to me a couple of weeks ago and he mentioned something. He says, you know, apparently his wife and daughter are big fans of Taylor
Swift. Wait a minute. Haven't we already done this story about Taylor Swift?
No, we
yes, we
about,
have. We it
no,
was exactly the same thing.
She was just on Dateline last night.
I'm calling it. I'm calling this a repeat.
How can it be a repeat? This was on last night.
Yeah, but we already talked about Taylor Swift not knowing who the heck she was. We played the song and we said the exact same thing about Andrew Grummet being the fan of Taylor Swift.
I'm bringing people back up to speed. I have to give them some background.
Okay.
You just said you don't know who she is. Well, apparently you do.
Well,
you have a short memory. So let me get back to the story. So they give her...
Hello? Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Oh,
hello, Kettle. This is the pot calling.
That's for short-term memory loss. Okay.
So anyway, so I bitched. Yes, I have bitched about this woman before. I said she's overpromoted, but this gave me a little more background because there was an entire hour devoted to her on network TV. And prime time. She's accomplished is she won album of the year for some country, I think country and western.
Country, yeah.
And it was like, there's not a song on there that's memorable or good. I don't think she sings very well. I hate to be a downer, but I am the buzzkill. So they were interviewing her and they got whoever the host this is, some woman I see her once in a while. She's giggly. She's gushing. They're showing Taylor behind the scenes and what a genius she is. She's a genius. She's basically Mozart.
She's better than Stevie Wonder.
She's unbelievable. And she's this woman. Oh, whoa, whoa. And so I want you to play one short clip from the show. And I'm going to set it up. They talked to one of the people working for her. Apparently, she's on a tour, and that's what they were documenting, this tour. By the way, this is what I think anybody out there who's in show business as a singer or in a band or does anything in the road, and I think that people like Sheryl Crow or Leanne Rimes, people who can actually sing, they must be steaming.
Oh yeah, oh it's this. Yeah, they throw up in their mouth, absolutely
steaming.
Yeah.
This woman is, oh, she does designs the sets, she does the staging, and
she's
all their,
awesome.
And
she's
all the people
that
work for her go, oh, she's amazing for 19. She's a genius. So here's my Mozart clip showing what a genius she is. Play it.
Frustrated, but Taylor's strive for perfection only makes the people who work with this young star respect her that much more.
Let's go!
Oh, sound check?
Yeah. There's been times where I've played a solo, and then she'll say, well, can you kind of do this? And she'll sing me a melody, and I'll incorporate that. And that's very impressive for someone your age.
Prince.
Listen. The problem that I was having with the solo is that it's getting a little noodly. I'd rather it be like... Less notes.
Less notes.
Less notes is too noodly. That's real musician speak, by the way. I hear Jeff Smith, who is actually a performing, working his ass off musician, who was in the office today at Mevio. You can see him on Mevio Underground. He must be puking in his mouth hearing this. I mean, that is less noodly.
She's a genius.
My God, for someone who's 19 to actually be able to tell me to adjust a note. I mean, wow. I'm just flipping out. Oh, yeah. There must be a commercial tie-in, obviously. There's a lot of money invested in this girl. What label is she on? Hold on. I'm afraid to. This is my problem, John.
Well, here's the deal. She was picked up by. First, she was picked up by RCA, and they told the story. And then RCA dumped her. Mm-hmm. And then some guy who used to be with Universal Records decided to start his own label, kind of a virtual David Geffen. Because he saw the promotional abilities, because he, I think, is the promoter. And he picked her up, and it's a completely new label. But the guy behind her has got to be this guy, and he's really good.
Well, there's got to be a tie-in to get a full hour on Dateline.
A full hour. So she can... Which is what I want, not too much noodling, too many notes. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, that's what your news time on television is spent on, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, this is very, very exciting. I've been talking about... Congressman Ron Paul's bill to audit the Federal Reserve. Currently 209 co-sponsors, only 9 more needed, and this thing goes to the Senate.
That's where it dies.
I was waiting for you, almost on cue.
Sorry.
But that's good. I mean, I guess I should look at the split, but that's a pretty good 209. It's getting there. There is some hope, and maybe it dies in the Senate, but still, we can try it again, and we can try it again. We really need to do this. We need to audit this stuff.
We need to. It's never going to happen. Let's just go. Oh, by the way, let me back up to the Taylor Swift thing, because I have one note that needs to be.
Don't noodle it. As long as you don't noodle the notes.
They were interviewing her. They got these close-ups, and I keep looking at the woman because I know that what they're trying to do is find a replacement for Britney Spears. And so I'm looking at her, and I'm saying, this girl, she's kind of pleasant looking. She's kind of a puffy-faced, cutie pie is the only way to describe.
Mouseketeer kind of girl.
Yeah. And I'm looking at her. I said, she looks familiar. She just looks familiar. And I hate to be mean-spirited when I give my analysis here, but I keep looking at her, and I've noticed her lips. She got a really small mouth.
So?
And I look and look and look, and I say, oh, Donald Trump. It gets worse. And I think is she looks like Donald Trump. And then I look at her nose, and then I look at her eyes. She looks like Donald Trump in drag if he was 19.
Your lips ain't exactly Angelina Jolie, John.
I don't look like Donald Trump, and I don't form my mouth a certain way that Donald Trump does. She talks like him, too.
Maybe that's the tie-in.
I don't know. Maybe she's related.
Yeah. Jinx. Yeah, you never know.
Anyway, that's the last story I'm ever doing about this girl. She's probably made more money than two of us combined.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Oh, you think she's just being taken for a ride like everybody else in the business?
Of course. Of course. No, there's no money in the business right now. You really have to have three hit albums before even the record company, because, God, there's so much money that goes into promoting these artists these days. You mentioned Britney Spears. There is a Britney Spears documentary. I forget the name of it. It was playing on the Virgin Flight. It's actually worth viewing. Because when you kind of strip away all the bullshit that you normally see, At the very core, there is a young girl who just really wants to dance, and she was really a mousketeer. She came up with Justin Timberlake and Jessica Simpson, and if you have a chance, take a look at this, because it will change your perception about Britney Spears in some degree.
I really don't have a negative attitude toward her, mainly because I had a friend of mine who was in the computer business for a long time, became one of her aide-de-camps for a few years.
Oh, one of her bootlicking lackeys.
And he told me a couple of things that were like really kind of sad. And it was like, and he said that she's just a nice, she's a pretty nice person. She might be, a little bisexual on occasion, but she's.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
No, it doesn't bother me.